Israel. And from that day, the story of Joshua changed. After this word that you are receiving, the word began to magnify you. The same you that came to Shiloh is not the same you going out. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm sure we are ready. We are set. Bringing us the third tables of the covenant is our first vice president, the Bishop David Abioye. Put your hand together for the Lord as he comes up.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's do some more of our hand clap to the Lord, everybody. Amen. Now, please join me as we lift up our hands together in honor of Jesus for all of his blessings. Ever we came to Shiloh 2020, and particularly this morning in the hour of visitation, we have received the first word, we've received the second word. Let's thank him. As we appreciate him for what he has done, he prepares to do the next thing for us. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. No one like him. In Jesus' glorious name, we have given thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege given to us to stand in your presence. We were far away from you before, but through salvation, you brought us into your family. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for every blessing that comes with it, including the tables of the covenant which you've been delivering to us. Receive our thanks in Jesus' name. Bless us again. Via your word, we'll be hearing right now. In Jesus' glorious name. All the saints of God in the house shout the loudest amen. Please get seated. I can see somebody clapping for the Lord. Somebody else is shouting to him. Again this morning, I count it a very great privilege given by God through his servant, my father, the apostle over this commission, Bishop David Oyedepo, to bring another word to us by the Holy Spirit. I do believe that all of us shall be blessed again this morning. In the precious name of Jesus. I have good news for you this morning. From every troubles of this world, you have a covenant of exemption. Therefore, from today, whatsoever happens to them outside will never happen to you. We are looking at the subject of engaging the covenant of exemption. And I'd like us to read quickly as our text. From the book of Job, chapter 5, from verse 19. Talking about God, he shall deliver thee in six troubles. Yea, in seven, there shall no evil touch you. Did you hear that? There shall no evil touch you. Specifically, in famine, he shall redeem thee from death. Famine will not kill you. In war, from the power of the sword, thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. That is, from the mouth of witches, wizards, diabolical forces. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Laughter will never be taken out of your mouth. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the field. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. Everything will be cooperating with you. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. Thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the herds. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. Like a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, we have searched it, so it is, and know it for thy good. Everywhere in the world today is filled with trouble. The whole world lies in wickedness, the scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Everywhere there is trouble, there is no nation that is secured. Some people run away from Nigeria because of witches. They don't know that the witches in Nigeria has registered his name where he's going to. You know, there is network of everything today. Network of witches. Before, people used to think that there are no witches in America. But they are there now. Satanist. Some people run away from Nigeria from Boko Haram. They get to other nations and put their children in school where they are shooting guns. There is no safety anywhere in any part of the world. Jesus said, in the world there shall be tribulations. That is information for the world. But to us he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome for you. That's revelation. The scripture contains information for the world, revelation to his children. Arise, shine. Your light is come. Darkness shall cover the hearts. Gross darkness the people. That is information to the world. But for you the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon your life. You shall be exempted. Our exemption is a covenant. Malachi chapter 3 verses 18 to 17 to 18. Then chapter 4 verses 1 to 3. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and descend between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And he continued in chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that he shall leave them neither root nor branch. Look at the word them, not you. But unto you, this is your own portion. Verse 1 is their portion. Verse 2 is whose portion? But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wing. They will be burning. They will be dying. But you will be living. And ye shall go forth when they are stagnated, and grow up when they remain as statue on the floor and calves off the stall. The covenant of exemption is real. To begin with, what is exemption? Exemption is the mystery. Somebody say what means mystery. Mystery of separation of the righteous from the wicked. Separation of those who are serving God and those who are not serving him. How is it a mystery? This testimony will explain it better. We were in Shiloh 2017. the theme was, my case is different. Say with me, my case is different. And after anointing, a man, a brother, a deacon called Deacon Batra, went to a filling station with his car to wash the car. And suddenly there was a fire outbreak. Several cars, many pumps, and the whole place got burnt, fully razed down. By the time he got back to his car, not a scratch. Not one scratch. Say with me, exemption. Look at the car there. Look at the deacon there. How do you explain that? Say with me, it's a mystery. Unexplainable, but undeniable. That will be your testimony from now. You have heard testimonies like this before. I live in a place where there are 10 flats of building. Every flat got burned except mine. In fact, you hear some testimonies, number one flat, number two flat, number three flat, number four flat, and then jumped to number six, and jumped to seven, but the flat in the middle left untouched. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. You've had testimonies of people traveling. 9 people died in the car. Only one person survived. And they ask him, who are you? He said, I'm a winner. I'm a child of God. Exemption. I decree the mark of exemption upon everyone from today. A young man was traveling, and then suddenly there was an accident. Before the accident occurred, he pulled out his shoes and he slept off. When the accident occurred, he suddenly found himself not far from the accident scene, seated with his shoes by his side, his hand back by his side. Not only exempted, but his properties exempted. Not an hair of his head was lost. From today, you will suffer no loss of any kind. If you believe it, shout exemption. What is exemption? Humility. Immunity. That is, it may happen to others, but not you. That's why we must be very cautious when you hear people discuss about many things happening. Quickly count yourself out. Quickly count yourself out. As a young man, we went home for Christmas break, and I heard some of my fellows talking that nobody can ever have a brand new car in this present Nigeria, except it's a thief. I called my brother, who is also a believer. I said, let's leave this place. Most of those people are still using their legs to trek today. Exemption is real. They will be poor, you will be rich. They will be begging, you will be giving. They will be shutting down, you will be buying. Psalm 91 verse 10. The word of God said, there shall no evil. Please, take the scripture raw as it is. God's servants used to say, take it raw, swallow it all. God cannot lie. He said, there shall no evil befall you. That means zero evil is meant for you. Neither shall any plague come near. They shall not come near your dwelling. Humility. Before Jesus left, he prayed for his disciples, John chapter 17, verse 15. Fully aware of troubles all around the world, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of this world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Keep them. That's the exemption. hide them, separate them from evil. No matter the evil raging around the world today, in the society where you are, you shall be exempted. God exempted his people from all plagues that took place in Egypt. And that God is still alive till today. For I am the Lord, I changeth not. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. See a few of the exemption story in Exodus chapter 8 verse 22. And Exodus chapter 9 verse 4. And I will severe in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the house. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall be this sign. So God always put a demarcation between his people and the people of the world. Chapter 10, verses 21 to 23. God is still in the business of exempting his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Darkness will never prevail over you. So we see how they were exempted from destruction, from death, from darkness, from hail, from famine, and other plagues. Businesses were shutting down, but the people of God had light. They were celebrating. I declare that by the covenant of exemption, you will never suffer what they suffer again. What are the demands of this covenant? Number one, you must be born again and remain so to escape the horrors of life. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So salvation is our escape route from destruction. He delivered us from the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. In the kingdom, there is no destruction, there is no darkness, there is no famine, there is no death. So when you give your life to Jesus, you have simply escaped destruction. If you are not saved, you are not safe. Your safety is rooted in your salvation. Your safety is rooted in your salvation. Sin traps people. Salvation shows them the way to escape. I hear some people say, oh, that they didn't miss anything for giving their life to Jesus. And I tell them, I miss a lot of things. I miss destruction. I miss witchcraft oppression. I escaped from the destruction in this world. If you are not born again, quickly run for your salvation. That is your escape route. Number two, have a revelation of our exemption right in Christ. It is our entitlement as God's redeemed people to enjoy exemption. Psalm 74 verse 20, have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the heart are full of the habitations of cruelty. The covenant is what moves God to respect us and give us our exemption. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. according as his divine power, had given all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, which we have to discover and become conscious of, that by this provision ye might be partakers of divine nature, which simply means having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So, developing our knowledge base on the subject of exemption guarantees our enjoyment of exemption. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. Destroyed because they lack knowledge. Not because Satan is strong, but because they lack knowledge. Satan always hides behind our ignorance. The day you know it, Satan clears off. You see, when you discover something, Satan is aware. So he moves further away from you. If you are ignorant, he will hide behind it. If you are knowledgeable, God will back you up for it. Go for knowledge. Look at one of the things God said concerning your exemption here. Isaiah chapter 43. From verses 2 to 4. Isaiah chapter 43. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, because I will exempt you. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Somebody who believes, say loud, amen. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Look at that. Substitution. And Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, so me, I'm precious in the sight of God. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. God loves you. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for your life. You are loved by God. And no lover wants to see the loved one in destruction. If you hear news that there is some calamity in the school where your child is, and suddenly you rush in there, the first person you are looking for is your child, not your neighbor's child. It is when your child is out, you can remember, oh, my neighbor's child is in this school. You take your child and put him in safety first. So when there is any calamity, the first person God is looking for is who? You. Why? He loves you. He can't afford you to be in trouble. He loves you. That's why the word says, 1,000 shall fall by your side, and 10,000 by your right hand, but they shall not come near you. You know what that means? God will rather allow Satan to take 11,000 persons before it becomes your turn. I will give people for you. People. Any day the devil comes, if he must take somebody and he's targeting you, he will remove you and push somebody else there. That is the mystery of exemption. Many years back, I was making a trip from Kaduna to Lokoja area. And I was waiting for a friend for us to go together. The friend didn't come. So I decided to drop from the vehicle. And somebody else took the place. And traveling about 100 kilometers thereafter, we met the vehicle I came out from involved in an accident. And the person who took my seat was worse hit. I will give men for your sake. From today, if any evil must occur and Satan is targeting you, God will take you out of it. Shout it, God loves me. Say it again, God loves me. Number three, We must remain in the secret place of God. Psalm 91 verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We must dwell in the secret place of God. God's servant taught us with great impact elaborately yesterday about the covenant of fellowship. The secret place of God, where we receive the mark of God of exemption. Number four, we must keep the love of God alive in our hearts to actualize our exemption heritage in Christ. Psalm 91 verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Loving God ties you to God. Loving God means having passion for God. Now, listen to this. One way by which you know who you love and what you love is when you wake up in the morning. What is the first thing that occurs to you when you wake up? That shows the person you love. Some people will wake up in the morning, the first thing they go for is their telephone. His mind is tied to his telephone. Some people, when they wake up, they switch on their television. His mind is tied to television. Some others, when they wake up, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. You are worthy of my praise. I give you glory and honor. He slept thinking God. He woke up thinking God. Who you love is the one you give first priority in your heart. David the lover, passionate after God, panting after God all the time, is the one who wrote this psalm. Set your love on God, he will set his eyes on you. Remember Romans chapter 8 verse 28. All things work together for the good of them that love him, including their exemption. Keep loving God. Set your heart on him, and he will set his eyes on you. Set your heart on him, and he will set his eyes on you. Somebody say loud, amen. Number five, continue to walk in the fear of God. Remember Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 specifically, he said, unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wing. The fear of God makes him to arise on our behalf. And what is the fear of God? To hate evil. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13. Hatred for evil. Hatred for sin. Love for righteousness. Longing in your heart to do what is right before God. That's the fear of God. Living away from sin. Living a sanctified life. Walking in the fear of God. And here, the promise of God for those who fear him. Psalm 33 verses 18 to 19. Psalm 33, 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. When you walk in the fear of God, you escape death, you escape famine. If that is your portion, say loud, amen. Amen. Psalm 37, verses 18 and 19, repeating almost the same thing. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be fed. Therefore, receive grace to walk in the fear of God. Number six, be sensitive to divine guidance. Be sensitive. When trouble is about to strike, God ministers to your spirit so you can escape. Psalm 23, verse 1, then 4 and 5. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my guide. Therefore, I shall not want. Though darkness may cover the heart and gross darkness, verse 4. It went to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, because you are guiding me by your rod and thy staff. And verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Be sensitive to divine guidance. You want to make a journey, and the Spirit of God tells you no. You want to eat something, the Spirit of God tells you no. I've received several caution like that several times. You want to step out to a place, the Spirit of God tells you no. It's because there is a danger to be avoided. No matter how anointed you are, there are certain troubles you cannot confront. Look at the story of Jesus. John chapter 7, verse 1. The most anointed was cautioned by the Spirit. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he will not walk in the Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. The most anointed, who should say, I'm not afraid to face any danger. He cautioned himself. Verses 5 and 6. His brethren came to him, who did not believe in him. And hear what they said in verse 6. When they told him to go out to Jerusalem to the feast, he said unto them, my time is not yet come. When you go to a place or do a business at a wrong time, destruction is waiting there. I've had God's servants tell us stories of how he escaped a lot of troubles when the Spirit of God cautioned him, don't go to that place again. Don't take that step again. Anointing is of no effect when you are in the wrong place or heading in the wrong direction. Sometimes we say, how will people feel if I don't go? They will feel good when you are no more. They will still be smiling. They will still be celebrating. As a matter of fact, they will tell everybody, hey, don't let the celebrant know yet, so that you won't spoil their day. Meanwhile, you are somewhere lying down. None of us will run into danger as a result of insensitivity. Number 7. Remain dedicated to the kingdom advancement endeavors. Exodus chapter 23, 25, all the way to 27. Ye shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and your water to exempt you from famine. And he will take sickness away from the midst of thee to exempt you from sickness. There shall not cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of your days he will personally be responsible to fulfill. Say loud, amen. I will send your fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all your enemies to turn their backs unto you. You will not run away from them, they will be the one running away from you. You shall serve, he shall bless. Our service is an exchange for his exemption. That is the covenant demand. You register your service, he registers you for exemption. You serve him, he keeps you away from evil. Look at the story of Job. Job chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. God was proud to call him his servant. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the heart, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered and said, I've checked round and I discovered that the secret behind Job's security is that he's walking in fear of God and he's serving him. Hast thou not made an edge about him? Can you see that? Serving God creates an edge around you and about his house and about all that he had on every side. Thou hast blessed the works of his hand and his substance in his increase in the land. Serving God creates an edge, security around your life. Therefore, keep serving him. to keep enjoying his exemption. Keep serving him to keep enjoying his exemption. Serving God gets him committed to sparing one as his treasure. Again, Malachi chapter 3, verses 17 and to 19. They shall be mine. When you serve God, you become his personal property. They shall be mine, said the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. You become precious in the eyes of God. I will spare them as a man spared his son, his own son that serveth him. You see, you become God's personal property when you are useful to him. All of us know how we cherish tools and instruments that are useful to us. Women in particular, you know how you cherish your jewels, your jewelries, your gold, and other precious things that you have. A woman will put the jewelry inside cotton wool and put the cotton wool inside the case and put the case inside the box and put the box inside a wardrobe to fully lock it. And then after that, she will now lock the door to the room with double keys and lock the main gate with security door. Why do people invest in security? Because of the treasure that they have. God has invested in your security because of how precious you are to him. In our church in Rajoba in those days, three men rose up that they want to kill Bishop Oyedepo. They ganged up. We are going to kill him. They did everything that they could, him not knowing. After the first meeting, the first son of the head of the team died. My head, he died. Second one, my head, he died. The third person said, I'm going to tell him all that happened so I can secure my life. When you are serving God, you don't bug your head about your security. It takes care of it. Help me tell your neighbor, God is taking care of your security. Number 8, engage the power of faith. Engage the power of faith. Why? It takes faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Engage the power of faith. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they engage the power of faith. You find all the story in Daniel chapter 3 and Daniel chapter 6. How does faith work for your exemption? First of all, even though faith is of the heart, it controls the mind. In which case, when faith enters into you, you start thinking exemption. You start thinking fear-free. Fear opens the door to the enemy, but faith closes the door against the enemy. That's why the scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. If you think fear, it will befall you like Job. He said, the things which I greatly fear has come upon me. What was it that came upon him? Every day he will wake up. Perhaps my children have committed sin. And then he will go to offer sacrifice. In Job chapter 1 verses 5 to 10. And the evil he feared eventually came upon him. So may I have no fear. That's why if you read from Psalm 91, it emphasizes, you shall not fear. You shall not fear. Say with me, I shall not fear. Shout it again, I shall not fear. Think exemption. Think fear-free. And of course, make faith-filled declaration. Faith-filled declaration. Now, fear comes to all, but does not stick to all. Fear comes to all, but it does not stick to all. How do you repel fear? You repel fear by speaking. That's why the more you speak, the less you fear. Silence is the breeding ground for fear. Often, people who become victim of fear silently take everything that comes to them. They take and swallow everything that comes to them. I've always recommended to people, the cheapest way to deal with fear is to speak. The bolder you become, the more you speak. The things you speak against, you don't fear. So when you hear story of accident, no, it's not for me. You hear of any danger concerning business, no, it's not for me. Speak boldly. Satan is afraid of your bold declaration. When you make bold declaration, you clear the devil out of the way. Shout, I am exempted. Say it again, I'm exempted. He said, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Psalm 81 verses 10 to 14. And when you do so, he said, I will take it up against all of your enemies. Psalm 107 verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. He said, I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your advisors shall be able to resist nor gainsay. Luke 21 15. Somebody shout, I am exempted. Say it one more time, please. And finally, the demand of the covenant, remain under prophetic cover. I don't joke with this. Once upon a time, I was traveling from Lagos to Kaduna. And God's servant called me and prayed for me. And he said to me, call me when you get there, as usual. And we're in the air, storm very heavy. Then I remember what he told me. Call me when you get there. So I knew I'll be getting there. So I adjusted his seat, rested my head. While others were crying, some were shitting inside the plane. I knew I would get there. Prophetic cover. Did you hear one of the testimonies a little while ago? I saw God's servant appeared as a doctor and other men of God with him. And from that day, affliction was taken away from me. Prophetic cover. At our little level, somebody shared a testimony. Fire engulfed the house. And according to her, she saw me appear from afar off, and I stretched my hand towards the building and the fire stopped. Why? Under prophetic cover. Under prophetic cover. So when you come to church, one thing you mustn't joke with is the prophetic declarations, especially towards the end of the service, that keeps you in the course of the week. Don't joke with it. Prophetic cover. Because Moses was among them, they couldn't curse them. Balaam and Balak couldn't curse them. Each time they want to curse them, they see the head of Moses come out. Because God gave him charge to be over 3 million people. I am safe when I'm under my prophet, because I know that whatever cannot hurt him can never hurt me. Somebody say loud, amen. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12, by prophet he brought them out, by prophet he took them in. Finally, what are the fourfold weapons for provoking covenant of exemption? Number one, engaging the name of Jesus. What is in a name? A person is in the name. If I call now, a Nenche, Ibiome will not answer. Because I call a Nenche answers. When you call Jesus, he answers. He appears. And when he appears, his name is as a strong tower. That means when you call his name, a tower is built around you. Somebody shout, Jesus! A lady was involved, a member of the church was involved in a boat that was about to capsize. And she shouted, Jesus, I will not die here. And she saw an invisible hand, which I believe is the hand of Jesus whom he called. And that hand rescued him. When they got to the shore, she looked at what she was holding. Nothing was there. Jesus is our covenant weapon to provoke our exemption. That's why in Numbers chapter 6 verse 27, among the priestly blessing in verse 27, he said, thou shalt place my name upon them. Thou shalt place my name upon them for their exemption. Number two, engaging the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Psalm 105, verses 13 to 15. Isaiah 59, verse 19. When the enemy shall rise as a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against them. In the anointing oil is a standard. Anoint your home every day. Anoint yourself every day. I don't only have anointing in my home, I have it in my bag. In case I forgot the one at home, anywhere I am. A woman was looking for a house to rent, and with her two children, she knocked a door, and the door opened, not knowing that there were killers there. And they said to her, say your last prayer. This is the end of the world. And among other things she did, she brought out the anointing oil and splashed it on the ground. And the children were saying, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. The leader of the team said, hey, go and open the door for them. They said, oh God, you too, you should go. Go and open the door for them. They couldn't move close because of the power in the anointing oil. It's a mark of God that distinguishes and separates us. Say loud, amen. The third is engaging the blood of the Lamb, either by sprinkling or by invocation. Exodus 12, 13. Every night, my wife and sprinkles the blood in our home. Every night, the blood of sprinkling takes place in our home. You can also provoke it by pleading the blood of Jesus. There is a story of a missionary who traveled away from home, left his two children, and Satan was tormenting his mind. I will kill your children. I will kill your children. And he began to plead the blood of Jesus. And sent his brother to go and check for his children. He got to the boundary of the house and saw two rabid dogs with poison in their mouths that should have killed the children. So anytime you sense some danger anywhere, the blood of Jesus is for my covering, for my deliverance. Say loud, amen. And finally, engage God's angel. They surround us to deliver us. Psalm 34, verse 7. They surround us to deliver us. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. They will not allow you to dash your feet against the sun. Can you see how important even your feet is? God says he will not allow those evil to come because of his angels. And who are these angels? Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21. They excel in strength. That means nobody can confront them. One angel destroyed 185,000 people in one day. Nobody can stand them. They grow and excel in strength. And the scripture says, they are round about you. They are round about you. Anywhere you go, angels are round about you. From this day, you will never suffer any satanic assault again. If you believe that, rise to your feet with me and begin to declare your exemption right now. I'm exempted. I'm exempted from every danger. I'm exempted from every evil. Raise your voice, somebody. Declare that right now. Declare it. Make a fearful declaration. I'm exempted from trouble. I'm exempted from crisis. I'm exempted from calamity, from poverty, from famine, from untimely death. I'm exempted. I'm exempted. I'm exempted. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, we are praying. Give God a very big hand and take your seat, please.